This coming Monday is a scheduled solar eclipse that in these parts will be not total, but getting there. And a little bit further upstate will be a total eclipse. I was talking to Tom and Amina, the rabbi in Buffalo last night, who told me that he has 120 Hasidim coming on Monday, and they're having a 9 o'clock Shacharis in the shul, which is like summer vacation season. So I
Is
thought
that
I'd talk a
Rabbi
little
Marcus?
bit. No, he's not. I don't think he's there anymore. Rabbi Avi Okun. But I think we'll talk a little bit about solar eclipses, b'halacha u'b'hashkafa, as happened not so long ago in 2017. In these parts, we have a pretty good percentage of a solar eclipse. So what we'll share is from literature that was circulated at the time. I had sent out an article from Chakira from 2017, written by Dr. Jeremy Brown. Well, I know nothing about, but it's a nice, cute article. And we'll talk about some of the Marma Kamas sequels. Rabbi Gil Student wrote a little collection of Marma Kamas at the time. The state itself in Masuka has some Marma Kamas. So what we'll talk about is a collection of some of the material found in those sources. So to start, the Gemara tells us in Sukkah, on Daf Kaf Tes Amud Aleph. Let's get on the screen. Tanur Rabbanan. Bisman shachama loke, when literally the sun is smitten, but generally speaking, that's presumed to refer to as a solar eclipse. Simin ra'al cholom kula, that's a bad sign for humanity. Mashal ma'adavar doma, lamelech basar adam sha'as suda la'avadav, v'niach panas lefneyam. So a king makes a suda for all his servants, and he has a lantern there. Kas aleim v'ambar la'avdo tol panas mipneyam. So he tells, he gets angry, and he tells his servant, get rid of the lantern and let them all sit in darkness. Then a couple lines later, Gemara again, Tanur Rabbanan, Bisman shachama loke simin rela ov dekachavim. Here it says that's a bad sign for the umas ha'olam. Levana loke, if there's a lunar eclipse, simin rela lisraim she Yisrael, that's a euphemistic expression for the Jews. V'nei she Yisrael mona levana ov dekachavim la'chama. And then the Gemara has a few lines later. Even though there are these inauspicious signs, but when the Jewish people are following Ratzon Hashem, you don't have to worry about anything. Mark was a pasuk, and then the Gemara gives you specific things that go wrong that could precipitate, or seemingly the way it presents that a solar eclipse happens when certain bad things happen in society. So some are bothered. The Gemara there gives you the impression, or one may get an impression with this Gemara, that somehow an eclipse happens when certain things happen in society, which is clearly not reflective of the science we know and can predict to the minute when a solar eclipse or lunar eclipse is going to happen. So the Aruch HaNer there in Sukkah presents as follows. He refers to Hamal Igam al-Divrei Chazal. So those people that seek to find fault with Chazal, so they use this Gemara to find a target for their arrows, as if to say that Chazal didn't know anything about science. They didn't know that eclipses are based on astronomical phenomena that can be predicted and aren't reflective of how society acts. So that is incorrect, he says. That's not how to understand this Gemara. He says, "Aval ba'emes, hamaligim nilku be'ivaron," that these people who are tumulting and finding fault with Chazal, they're the ones that are smitten with blindness. Shelo yabitu eich Chazal dibru inyan zeh b'lashon chachma. They didn't realize that Chachamim Chazal were sensitive in their language. Laharis shelo ne'ala mehem zeh. That it's clear if you read the Gemara carefully, the Chazal are well aware that we're talking about natural phenomena. The Eishel Daktek, Lam Amru B'kala Gimel Braisos, Bizman Shachama Loke, Kozman Shamoris Lokin, Bizman Shachama Loke, Tap Bizman, Lashem Yisrael. Why does it say at the time that there's an eclipse? Havalele Neymar Kishachama Loke. When there's an eclipse? Kishamoros Lokin. Amnam Besahoru, Sha'av Shalukuyim Hemal Pitava. Even though it's true that these are all natural phenomena, nevertheless, these are times that are susceptible to ra'ah. That these are times where certain bad things could happen because it's a time that is misugal for that. L'chein amru b'kivun b'sman shacham aloka lomar af shabab b'sman yadua. We know when it's going to happen. Mikol makom, it's still a siman ra. Just like the Ramban explains in Parshas Noach, when it comes to the keshes, the rainbow existed in creation before the mabul. It wasn't created out of the mabul. It existed from bias olam. It's a siman when a rainbow appears that it's a siman of an os bris. And when it appears, it may be reflective of something going on in the world, but it's still built into Teva, independent of what it, that is the mashal of the lantern. Why didn't the Gemara say that it's like someone turns out the lights? So, no, it's the mashal of the lantern is that you have a lantern and you remove it. So here, too, you have the sun. There's something blocking the sun.
Did Rabbi Zilberman's Zoom freeze?
Yeah, I'm trying to get onto a second one. Looks like it froze.
Rabbi Zilberman, I think you're on mute.
Sorry, I'm not sure what happened there, but I guess we're back. Yeah, do you hear me now? Okay, sorry, I'm not sure what happened. It timed out. Okay, the Maral and Baragola has a slightly different, but... you hear me? Yeah,
yes,
okay.
Yes, we can hear you.
Now we hear you. Now we hear okay. you.
Okay, sorry about that. Not sure what happened. So the Maral and Baragola says slightly different approach, but a similar idea, that these things are all part of Teva. They all exist in creation. They're all part of how the natural world works. But what Chazal means to highlight is that there wouldn't be eclipses if not for the fact that there is chait in the world. That the fact that there is an eclipse is symbolic of some kind of imperfection in the world. And at the root, any imperfection in the world is caused by some kind of chait. So it happens to be this part of Teva, but that Teva only exists because we're in an imperfect world that is sullied by chait. Just as the reality of the world that we live in post Adam HaRishon, post Gan Eden, is that man has to work for a living. If not for the chait of Adam HaRishon, then there wouldn't be a Bezeis HaPach HaTokh HaLachm. So that is part of the Teva of the world, but it's Teva of the world that is created because that exists, because there's some underlying chait that causes irregularities. So the fact that there is an eclipse, even though when we know what happens, Chazal aren't coming to explain the science. They're saying that the fact that there is something that reflects a certain imperfection is just because of the existence of chait in the world. That's within the thinking of the morale, anything that, how do we know it's an imperfection? Because the normal presentation is that the sun is fully visible. So if it's eclipsed, that's some imperfection of the natural order. That's how the morale seems to conceive of it, and any imperfection in the world is reflective or a result of some kind of chait. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Emes Liakov, in the volume on Pirkei Avos, Perek Hey, Mishnah Vav, there he has the following, that the reason, a little different than the Ramban, the reason that a rainbow is considered to be a Siman Klala, even though it's true that a rainbow is reflective of a natural phenomenon, but you could have a rainbow that's not as visible because it's covered by clouds. So you can have a rainbow. The fact that you see it, that's because of whatever siman the rainbow comes to show us, because it could have existed based on natural phenomena and you wouldn't see it. So he says that may also be true when it comes to an eclipse, that I don't know what the forecast is for Monday. Earlier in the week, it looked like it might be cloudy. So if you have an eclipse, but it's cloudy, so then you don't see it. So maybe it's only a siman klala or a siman that siman ra for umas olam if you can actually see it. Okay. And then finally, in the state Sofim, on the Gemara in Sukkah, he quotes from Yonatan Eibishitz, Yaris Tavash, Chelik Beis, Jerush Yud, who has another suggestion that maybe when the Gemara talks about Likoi Ma'oros in this context, Man Shachama Loka, it doesn't mean an eclipse. Lashon of Likoi literally means it's smitten, there's some disease. So he thinks maybe it means that there were sunspots. Yesh Ma'oros Ha'eim had there, or he says, Umir Koch Pulasam, Kamashimatin Lafamim, Kisamim. So maybe when the Gemara talks about Loka, it means literally Loka, that there's some disease, sunspots, and not and that doesn't appear on the calendar the same way an eclipse does. The author of this Chakir article points out that that's a little bit difficult because most people can't see sunspots with the naked eye in both situations, even though he has records of some earlier times when people did. But be that as it may, that's a suggestion of the Yavetz. Okay, that's the Chelak HaHashkafa. What about the Chelak HaLacha? So people are tumulting. I don't really understand the source of the tumult or what the Havamin is. Why don't you say a bracha on an eclipse? Rabbi Asher Bush wrote a nice piece about that the last time around. I saw other people talk about it. Chazal weren't misakin a bracha. So I'm not sure. It could be the simplest reason, not because of Simon Klala, but how are you magdir what's considered an eclipse? That's the shear that you say, bracha, total eclipse. What do you have to see? Not every astronomical phenomenon has a bracha. So I'm not so bothered by the question. The mice, there's no bracha, there's no takana of any bracha. But I saw this Dr. Brown article. He quotes two brief tshuvas from Reb Nevensal in some sefer that was put out, which is kind of Reb Chaim Kanievsky style of tshuvas, of people that sort of never saw things, and it gave one-sentence answers. So one of the questions was if we assume that an eclipse is a bad sign, so should you tell people about it? Because we know about the rainbow, even though the source of this is kind of unclear. The Shabura quotes that it's a Chai Adam. All the Chai Adam says in Klal Samach Gimel Seif Dalid is Haroa Keshes. Oh, did I? Is the share screen not on? I didn't go back on. One second.
You look good.
You see the share screen?
No, we just see you. You look good.
I appreciate that, but I didn't realize when we timed out that I lost the share screen. Okay, we're back. So
Share
here we
screen's
go.
back.
So the Chai Adam in Klal Samach Gimel Sif Dalet. Well, a kashas, you say bracha. The Yasir Listakla, so you shouldn't look at it too carefully. Umatsasi b'sefer echad shmo nelami many. I found in some sefer whose name I forget. You shouldn't tell people there's a rainbow because that's saying lashon hara on humanity that we deserve to be destroyed and that's why there's a rainbow. So the Mishmur quotes the halacha because the Chai Adam, even though the Chai Adam himself just puts in parentheses and he says that he found some anonymous sefer that he doesn't remember who said this, but the Mishnah Berurah looks like publicized this or made this. I can't say it wasn't common practice, but the popularity is probably based on the Mishnah Berurah. So someone asked Rav Nevensal, is that true when it comes to a solar eclipse as well? And he said, no, a solar eclipse appears in the calendar. You know when it's going to happen. So it's not a secret, and you don't have to not tell people about it. So in case anyone didn't know, the secret is out that there's a solar eclipse scheduled for next week. Then we ask the second question. If that's the case, then why don't we say that you shouldn't tell people about the still, why shouldn't you tell people about the solar eclipse? Isn't it a Siman Ra? So you shouldn't be mefarsim a Siman Ra. So he said that when Yisrael does Ritzono Shel Malkum, as the Gemara says, you don't have to worry about these things anyway, so not a concern. Then this Dr. Brown quotes a fascinating suggestion, which I can't believe is correct. He wants to say for Minchas Pri and Hilchos Nida, Minchas Pri by Rabbi Shayo Pinchas Rothenberg, as a skamas from Moshe, Shalom Zamen, Rabbi Yashiv, Minchas Yitzchak. I confess I never heard of the Sefer before, but it looks like he's written at least 12 volumes on our Otzer Chachma. So, Simeon Gimel of the Sefer and Hilchos Nida, he writes the following: I was in Mexico in the summer of 1991, and there was a complete solar eclipse. At 1 p.m., there was total darkness for 6 minutes, and all the animals that come out at night came out. And I thought at the time, what would happen if a woman has her re'iyah during a solar eclipse? Does that have a din of re'iyah's Lila for purposes of establishing Vestos? Even though he said no one would say that you can't daven mincha during a solar eclipse, no one would say it's a din of Lila. But when it comes to Vestos, where, as we'll see in a moment, Vestos on some level may be based on a certain astronomical reality having to do with periods of days, months, the experience of the and the effect of the sun. So maybe I don't understand how that could be, but at least that idea that Vestas are based on certain natural phenomena, so that speaks to a famous machlokas between the Rashba and the Ra'ah. When it comes to calculating a Vest HaChodesh, that a woman needs to be Poresh on the day that she had her previous Re'iyah, the calendar day of the month. So the Ramban writes in Nida Samach Dalet Amin Aleph, the Kariya Ni'al Asmi Mikra Zeh, Pliya Da Asmi Meni, Yuskava Lo Chala, V'chiyaveth Mazal Yom Gorem Mazal Shal Gorem, She'at Toli B'yom HaShavua B'yom HaChodesh. How do we understand the notion of a Vest HaChodesh? Sharei, Laflaga Shavos, Hadinosin Bo Shekvar Nismala Sasa Shilzu V'chein Darkin Shalana Shikulam. I understand that a woman has to be concerned about a Vest HaFlaga, that if there were there's a 25-day interval since her last Riyah, then the nature of her body is that she should expect to have a Riyah during at the next 25-day interval. That we understand biologically. But to say that a woman's cycle is going to be regulated based on when the month is declared, based on Kiddush HaChodesh, why should that be? He says, "Lefidati, but you see, lo yafa kivne rishonim bechalukei avestos sheni omer ein vesta leflaga shava." So it's unclear why there should be any basis of a vesta chodesh. Bal nefesh yachush lahachmir ben yavestos ben kedivareinim ben kedivareishonim. You have to be machmir, but the Ramban is skeptical. What is the whole basis of a vesta chodesh anyway? So here we have a machlokas between the Ra'ah in the Beit HaKabayis and the Rashba. The Ra'ah wrote his Beit HaKabayis as a commentary on and disagreeing with the Rashba in his Mishmar in his Torah of Abayis. So the Ra'ah Beit HaKabayis, Bayis Zayin, Shar Gimel, Tesamut Aleph in the standard pagination of the Torah of Abayis. He quotes the Ramban, and he says, "Zu kusha chazaka soseres bebirur." Lefikach ani omer that it can't be that a woman's cycle is going to be regulated by when the chachamim are mekadesh the chodesh. So when we talk about Vesta Chodesh, it's not a Vesta Chodesh based on the date of the month, based on when they were mekadesh al pi re'iyah, when Rosh Chodesh is, because that is somewhat subjective based on the decision of Beth, and rather it's based on a calculation going back to the molad. The molad is a objective astronomical phenomena. So then a woman's body could be regulated by phenomena in the world that dependent on whatever Chazal were convey in terms of when the month is going to begin. So you calculate based on the molad, you don't calculate based on the Kiddush HaKodesh. And the Rashba, the Mishmaris HaBayis is the response to the Beit HaKabayis. It's generally assumed, even though the Mishmaris HaBayis was authored anonymously, it's generally assumed to be the Rashba himself. And Rashba disagrees. He says, with all due respect, Baruch Chachamim Chalu, about Kushya, since Kushya, Garim. No, if Bezdin is Kaddish HaKodesh, that creates physical realities. The Samchim, the if Chachamim can decide when you be Chayiv for Karis, for eating Chametz on Pesach, for violating Yom Kippur. And by the same token, if we assume that a girl who comes to the age of 3 is Eimus Sulach Chozros, that's also based on the birthday, which is based on Kviyas HaChodesh of Kiddush HaChodesh. So here too, the Rashba says it's relevant as well for the consideration of Kviyas Vestos and a Vest HaChodesh. And that's what the Shach Paskins like the Rashba, the Shach in Kuf Pei Tes Yerdei, Asimen, Yud, Gimel. That we don't follow the Mola, we follow Kiddush HaKodesh. If we follow the Mola, that would be very hard to calculate Vestas properly, because that would require a lot more analysis and precision in making calculations. But that's what the Shach assumes, Halacha like the Rashba, that we follow Kiddush HaKodesh, and that a cycle could, at least on some level, be regulated based on what Chazal determined when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. But back to our story, I don't see at all how anyone would entertain that this would have a din of a Lila, for Yis Lila, if you have a few minutes of a total eclipse. Let's just talk for a few moments. This is really only relevant to eclipses, and I think we might have touched on this in the past over the years. But taking a photograph of, if you do it in a safe way, of the sun during an eclipse. So in general, the din of Lo Sa'asuniti, that you're not allowed to take or make images of Shamashim, Hamashamshim, Lefanai, Bimar, the Gemara of Daf Ben Beis, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that applies to creating images of the sun, moon, and stars as well. So that is a machlokas, as we showed, a machlokas haposkim, whether the iser of Lo Sa'asuniti, as applies to sun, moon, stars, does it only apply if you make three-dimensional images, or does it apply to two-dimensional images as well? Taz is mekel, simen kuf mem aleph in Yoredeya, but the shach and the kudas of there argues, and the consensus of poskim is like the shach, that the iser of Lo Sa'asuniti applies to two-dimensional images as well. So it's usher to draw a picture of sun, moon, stars, any shamashim, hamashamshim, lefanai, bimara. And we generally assume, like the Yad HaKetana that the Dark Ajuba quotes over there, that anything that is meant to represent the sun, moon, we draw a picture, even if it doesn't act. If you draw a yellow ball with rays around it, that's not what the sun actually looks like, but that is the human perception of sun. So if you draw a picture that is meant to look like the sun and anyone seeing it would identify it as the sun, then that would be a violation of Lo Sa'asuniti, the night sky, and have dots that represent stars. So Rabbi Falk pointed out in an article that would be a violation of Lo Sa'asuniti as well. And the post can generally assume, I'm sorry.
Did you phone a picture?
We'll get to that. So give me a second. So, and the poskim also assume that if you have a if you draw a picture of a sun, even if it's not a full sun, but a sun covered by clouds, a sun setting, that's a normal image of the sun, then that would be usur as well. There is a ma'arit that maybe doesn't apply to a half moon because. But generally speaking, anything that looks like the way a sun moon looks would be problematic. Could be drawing a little bit of a circle in the top corner of a piece of paper. Maybe that's better because that's not really how the sun looks. Okay. But what about photography? So in the olden days, when they had film photography a few years ago, some poskim did assume that taking a picture on film photography itself wouldn't be usur because you're not really doing anything visible, but developing the film would be problematic, and maybe having a nachri develop it would be a mirla nachri, if that's relevant here as well. But what about digital photography? So one could make the argument that digital photography is Eina Miskayim, and something that's Eina Miskayim may not be subject to the Isser of Los Sunniti. So to put up a picture on your computer screen, which is going to be gone 2 minutes later, that may be Eina Miskayim, and Eina Miskayim in that context may be mutter when it comes to the Isser of Los Sunniti. It would still be Usser to print out such a picture or to put it on photographic paper or create an actual lasting image, but to take the picture itself in a way that's Eina Miskayim, one could make a strong argument that that is mutter, not a violation of Lo Sasuniti. I believe Rav Schechter said that when I wrote this up in the RJJ Journal a number of years ago. I discussed with Rav Schechter, this was before digital photography became as ubiquitous as it is now, before anyone would have entertained that people would be taking pictures on their phones. Who would have ever thought of such a thing? But that would be considered Eina Miskayim, and perhaps mutter for that reason. But to print out a picture or to print it in any lasting way would be problematic. Is it any better for an eclipse? Meaning, if you're taking a picture of an eclipse, almost in the 95% eclipse, where you see the sun a little bit around the perimeter. So I saw someone argue maybe that's okay because that's not really what the sun looks like. I would be more inclined to say, well, that's what the sun looks like now. And you identify that as the sun, and it should be usser for that reason. So that would be the same. But so digital picture, in principle, if it's Eina Miskayim, it may be mutter.
You want to take a picture. We're not saying like you're catching the moon or the sun.
Well, are you?
What's happening?
Well, you wouldn't identify that as the moon,
What's
would you?
covering the sun?
I'm sorry.
What's covering the sun?
No, I understand, but like, if the definition is what does it look like?
That would
Okay.
go with Basser? Or does it go Basser? You're taking a picture.
Okay, so maybe you're right. Okay, I hear. Okay, so we should
What do you say?
if it's a siman ra'al umos ha'olam, then it should all be good for Klal Yisrael, and we should all have Yeshuas v'nechamas v'karav.
Amen. Shkaf, thank you, Rabbi Zalman.
I'm sorry.
Well, the animals come out. It's interesting, right?